flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Good Wednesday. Big day. Probably during the show, we're going to have the Lake and Riley vote, and it's going to pass. But I'm betting we're still going to have the three women from the suburbs here. And I'm just, how in the world could they be out of touch this much to vote against it when the rest of the world is moving relentlessly toward doing it, including a lot of Democrats, some of them right here. All right, but we have the bishop. She's back. President Trump asking for an apology, which she certainly won't do. And the people on Fox and Friends with the crazed bishop we played you yesterday, directly as the president's at a prayer service, dirty pool, going after him. That bishop was on The View today. In a moment, we'll play you what she had to say, clarifying further her position. The part I objected to, if she wanted to say, Mr. President, in the spirit of all this, I just would like to say, you know, I realize the political and all that stuff, but with these people here illegally, please consider compassion toward it. That's the part that didn't get me, although she didn't say it in the way that I did. It's about her idea of both intensifying whatever anxiety parents and kids that are gay feel. What in the world is Trump or anybody else going to do to these kids? The answer is absolutely nothing. So why in the world do that? Well, it's on an autopilot. The way these people think their ideology, of course they're going to say stuff like this. They want to provoke it deep down. So the Fox and Friends, almost to a person, suggest it. Don't go to this National Cathedral there in Washington. Don't have your administration go. Don't have members of Congress that are Republican and people that are sympathetic. That's a great plan. Do not go. Do not give them the platform. Do not. There's nothing that says that you have to do that. Just don't honor them. Don't honor them. They are political, nuts, hateful. Here's a little bit, though, of how it sounded on The View with Bishop Budd.
Predictably, you seem to strike a nerve. President Trump initially said yesterday it was, quote, not a good service, unquote. But overnight, he took to social media to say you were a, quote, radical left hardline Trump hater, unquote, that you brought the church into politics and that you owe your church and the public an apology. Now, given your role, it doesn't seem surprising that you would speak out for the marginalized, as anyone who's read the Bible and knows the path of Jesus. But do you think you're...
Hold it.
message
hold it
is
there
being
for
misconstrued.
A second. Now, second place to me on The View, the newsreader, this Haynes woman, constantly this woman resorts to the Bible, and the only page in the Bible is Jesus. Jesus forgives. Jesus this. Constantly. She's on that cockamamie show, What Would You Do? They put her in there now, and it's perfect. It's always skewed to the person who's mean, right-wing, something of that nature, and the heroes are always on the left. That's what she's talking about. Of course you told him about Jesus. What would Jesus do? Let them do whatever the hell they want. That's the message of the Bible. There's nothing in there other than if you're conservative, if you say stick to the law, etc., then you're problematic with the Bible. That's Sarah Haynes. It continues.
And politicized. Sure. Yeah. But I think if you read what I said, and I mean, how could it not be politicized, right? We're in a hyper political climate. One of the things I caution about is the culture of contempt in which we live that immediately rushes to the worst possible interpretations of what people are saying and to put them in categories such as the ones you've just described. That's part of the air we breathe now. And I was trying to speak a truth that I felt needed to be said,
Whose truth?
To do it in as respectful and kind a way as I could.
It's not a truth. You're the one. Look, the so-called truth about people here illegally, you left half of it out, sister, and that is Lake and Riley. What did you do during George Floyd? You gave aid and comfort to people burning down buildings. It's your truth, whatever you say the truth is now. The truth is President Trump and Republicans are not going after kids and their parents and the gay, and we're anxious and the whole thing. We're simply saying you're not going to put men in women's sports. You're not going to put them in bathrooms. You're not going to continue to do this. There are two genders. That's the truth scientifically, whatever you want to say. But notice the demeanor. It's always the demeanor they get us caught up in here about Jesus and the Bible. By the way, so I don't forget, I'll include Mike Johnson in this. I don't know if we have that cut or if he just made a statement of Mike Johnson about the J6 stuff. Hey, Mike, I've had it. Don't tell me about redemption. Don't tell me as an excuse today on the January 6th people. We believe in redemption. You know what? Yeah, do we have that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to Mike Johnson. I'm tired of it on either side. My point with J6, and we'll get to it again. Certainly, great numbers of those people, case by case, should never have been charged. Part two, those that were charged, any number of them, should have been charged with a misdemeanor. Part three, some of those that committed other offenses were overcharged and in prison. There was an element that other prisoners didn't get of harshness. But I don't know why it's so hard to say all that, pardon them, and those that attack police, not pardon them. Certainly don't pardon them. If you're going to commute, tell me why the sentence was too harsh. Here's Johnson about the J6 stuff. Saying, well, don't we believe in redemption? I just want you to think for a moment. When you see someone attack police, when you see the George Floyd summer, do we believe in redemption? I certainly don't. Those people can get redeemed. That's good. They can get straight with God. But if they're in prison, like the woman who set fire to those police vehicles in downtown Philadelphia, that thank God for Bill McSwain, Larry Krasner wouldn't prosecute. I don't want her getting out of jail. I think she got 7 years and they still let her out earlier than that. I would have put her in jail for 20 years. If she gets redeemed in jail, that's good, Mike Johnson. So let's stop bringing phony religion into this. Don't lecture me about redemption. Here's Mike Johnson.
I've long said you guys back the blue. How do you justifiably say that when Trump just pardoned a bunch of violent January 6th rioters who attacked Capitol Police? And if those rioters come to the Capitol, will you welcome them back here?
So look,
everybody can describe this however they want. The president has the pardon and commutation authority. It's his decision. And I think what the what was made clear all along is that peaceful protests and people who engage in that should never be punished. There was a weaponization of the Justice Department. There was a weaponization of the events, the following, you know, the prosecutions that happened after January 6th. It was a terrible time and a terrible chapter in America's history. The president's made his decision. I don't second guess those. And yes, you know, it's kind of my ethos, my worldview. We believe in redemption. We believe in second chances. If you could, you would argue that those people didn't pay a heavy penalty, having been incarcerated and all of that. That's up to you. But the president's made a decision. We move forward. There are better days ahead of us. That's what we're excited about. We're not looking backwards. We're looking forward.
Hey, you attack a cop, buddy. I'm looking backward, forward, etc. I don't care who you are. And I'm saying that. I'll play you one more of the bishop, because now Larry Krasner, creep, has jumped into this. He wants to charge these people, apparently, at a state level. A, that would be outside of our system. B, Larry Krasner hates cops. Larry Krasner has no standing here to talk about police officers. I do. You do. If over the years you've supported them, even in tough cases, even in some of these cases where there are gray areas. That's what Krasner's up to, making national news again today, posing that he wants to do this because of police officers, and we have to stand with them. He has no standing. He has negative standing. But as far as telling me about redemption, please leave it out. You know, if you want to say that this place was weaponized, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, okay, I get it. There's still people here who should have been punished, though, pretty severely. And again, the lion's share of people, it's true, were overly punished, slash, do they get their lives back now that they have this reputation? That's something to really look at. Here's one more of the bishop, then I'll tell you about a special guest we have coming on. Here's Bishop Buddy again.
Bishop, you know, as part of their crackdown on immigration, the Trump administration has already overturned policies to now allow ICE to go into what have been deemed legally sensitive areas, including churches, schools, hospitals, mm-hmm. to apprehend migrants. As a woman of the cloth, how do you feel that the church, which has been a place of sanctuary since at least 511, and it actually predates Christianity to mm-hmm. Roman and Greek times, that the church is no longer viewed that way by some?
Right. It's heartbreaking on one level. Let me be clear that it was never encoded in law. Any of the police officers and officials could come into our churches if they felt they had just cause. Now, they would need a warrant. They would need all the legal requirements to enter into such spaces, private spaces, as they would be necessary elsewhere, because churches are public spaces. They could go into them always. But you are right. It has been a practice. It has been an unwritten policy that there are some places, and particularly churches, schools, and other places where all sorts of people gather to create a sense of safety and to allow people's basic human and spiritual needs to be met. We have a lot of churches in our particular denomination that are that meet the needs of immigrants and other vulnerable populations, and we need now to be especially mindful and to make sure that basic human rights are protected and people's needs can be met.
Well, ladies, we're not going to be stopped by the phony church thing. One of the most famous cases, never going to damn break, I was involved in, is this police lieutenant and his family I got to know, who arrested this vicious criminal who was getting married in a church in Philadelphia. No, he didn't wait until the ceremony was over because of the danger. He arrested him, and he was right. Remember that case? You're not going to hide out in churches. I hope the Catholic Church in Philadelphia and New York don't shelter these people. They should go right in and take them out. All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Laura Reese, immigration expert from the Heritage Foundation and former Trump administration official, about what's going down today here on Talk Radio 12.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different?
How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
10.
All right, Tom G or Dan, our show, Big Issues, Big Guests. It appears to be that the deportation arrests are underway. At least it appears that way in places like Chicago. There's a lot going on around that. And we have the Laken Riley Act. There's a big part of that that our next guest I had on a national show on Monday night underlined. And I think it's even bigger than the holding of people that are involved in various crimes for ICE. It involves the attorneys general and what they can do. Joining us is Lori Reese. Lori is director of Border Security and Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation. Nearly 30 years of experience in immigration, homeland security, twice worked at the Department of Homeland Security on management and immigration policy, operations issues, most recently as the acting deputy chief of staff. Joins us here in Philadelphia on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Laura, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks, Don, for having me on.
So it looks like we are on the cusp of the Laken Riley Act, the final vote. I'm not sure how soon to afternoon, and it's going to pass maybe with the same numbers, maybe even a little bit more. And I talked to you about it the other night, and again, it seems minimal, the headline part of it. But what about the attorneys general? What power does it give them?
Yeah, so this bill gives states' attorneys general causes of action to sue the federal government if the federal government is not enforcing the law, immigration law, as we saw under the Biden administration, in a few different aspects. If the federal government is not detaining and removing aliens as the immigration law sets out, if the federal government is mass paroling illegal aliens into the country, which violates the immigration law, if the State Department is not using visa sanctions to get countries not cooperating with the U.S., in taking back their foreign nationals. So if a state is not using visa sanctions as authorized by the immigration law, the attorneys general can sue for that as well.
Yeah, so that's the thing that's missing in this. And it seems as if, look at the Senate side, I know two of them are from Georgia, but even Shaheen in New Hampshire, these are people coming up for election, and they don't seem to be fully at risk. They voted for it already, and they were given the green light to do that by Schumer.
Yeah, I do think people in tight races were given some leeway, and some of this is form over substance. You can imagine an ad saying so-and-so voted against the Laken Riley Act when the Laken Riley name has become a rather household name, tragically. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that it's more than that. But really, the radical left, the advocacy groups came out opposing this bill because it mandates detention for a number of theft crimes. And the left opposes immigration detention because they know that immigration detention, 9 times out of 10, results in deportation. Mm-hmm. And they don't want aliens deported. They want to keep them here.
My point is, and again, I think I told you this the other night, Lori, we have not one but three Democrat women in the Philadelphia suburbs, and it's just an indicator they're putting up a neon sign. They're in a safe district. They can do stuff like this because two people that are congresspeople in Philadelphia itself have voted for it. So it's a tell. And it would seem to me, do you think there's not enough information about Lake and Riley? Or do you think people in the suburbs politically would be that far that they don't think illegal aliens ought to be detained?
Yes, unfortunately, I think among the left, the pendulum has really swung towards don't detain aliens and don't deport them for political and other reasons. And they don't want states to be able to get more involved in immigration. They'll continue to argue, oh, immigration is a federal matter and states shouldn't be suing. Except, of course, when it comes to sanctuary policies, then those on the left are perfectly comfortable with states and localities
making
stiff-arming the federal government from doing its job.
Now, President Trump took the initial argument, I guess, maybe it's checking a box on birthright citizenship. I don't know that we're going to overturn that with an executive order, but you know about the order. What is that going to do, if anything? What kind of debate does it set up? What kind of power? What does it do?
Well, it's based on an interpretation of the 14th Amendment, which says if you are born here and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, and that clause is key, then you can have U.S. citizenship. It was passed right after the Civil War to ensure that African and Black Americans were considered U.S. citizens. It was not passed with illegal immigration or birth tourism or any of these issues we are currently facing in mind. And so we don't need another constitutional amendment to reemphasize that. So what President Trump did is he said, look, I have the authority to tell the State Department or other agencies don't issue documents such as a U.S. passport to someone born here if their parent wasn't either a lawful permanent resident or a U.S. citizen themselves, because if they were here illegally or even on a temporary visa, they are not subject to the jurisdiction of the U.S., but rather their home country.
Anything you think is not being amplified enough out of all these executive orders around the border, security, ICE, et cetera?
I think the strongest changes he made were suspending entry at the border to prevent people from coming in between the ports, to prevent people making claims of asylum between the ports. The last administration showed that migrants are perfectly capable of going to a port of entry to seek an immigration benefit. That was the whole purpose of the CBP Mobile One application and the mass parole. So Congress really needs to change that. Don't let people apply for asylum between ports of entry. You got to go to a port. And then the second is suspending refugee admissions starting in a week. Frankly, we've got over 9 million applications pending of all types, not just asylum and refugee, at DHS, and another nearly 4 million cases backlogged at DOJ. We need to deal with those cases and stop bringing in yet even more people. This is really about numbers. It doesn't matter what country anyone's from. We cannot take on these numbers that we have this past 4 years.
13 million backlog. Now, the argument the left would have us believe all that we're trying to do is sell out our Afghan allies, not letting them into the country. And here there are 13 million already backlogged.
That's right.
And again, it's a numbers thing, but it's also how in the world would we vet this? Laura, do you think I didn't see anything in the executive orders, and I think there's a lot in the system right now, so I don't think he should do it or will do it at this point. But I've seen some people calling upon Trump to go back to that ban on people coming from countries that may be heavily Muslim and or terrorist and or records that we can't track people. That was one of the top five big moments in early on for Trump the first time around.
He actually did it again. It's travel restrictions. The phrase Muslim ban is completely erroneous. What he did in the first term was call for heightened vetting and screening standards. And if countries aren't cooperating in terms of travel information, travel history, immigration, criminal, national security information, and other very reasonable document requirements that countries must meet to have foreign nationals enter their country, then they can have visa restrictions placed on them. That went all the way to the Supreme Court, and Chief Justice Roberts approved what Trump did in the first term. And so Trump did sign another executive order Monday saying we need to get back to the heightened vetting standards and screening that we had in place when he left office the first time.
Laura, thank you very much. I'm so glad I filled in the other night to get to know you and have you on again today. Please keep us in the loop. We love talking with you.
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
Laura Reese here on Talk Radio 1210. So lots happening out there around that. Let me give you the side question, and I'll address, I see on Twitter some people raising the issue, don't reduce yourself to this. One guy on Twitter telling me, well, how many years, come on, Dom, how many years do you get for just fighting with a cop? You really want to go there? We're really going to be parsing that that's what happened on January 6th. The FOP and the other group, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, I have the, it's the IACP, they have done a good job here today. They put out statements going against the Trump pardons and going against the Biden pardons of the guy Peltier who killed two FBI agents. They're exactly right. Now, I would not have made it as broad as the FOP did. Now, the FOP endorsed President Trump, but I would say they think that at least some of these are out of line. I do too. How many some? Maybe as few as 15 to 20. The rest, I think you can make a compelling argument, were overcharged, weaponized, they've done their time, etc. But we'd love to hear from you. What do you make of the fact that the FOP now and the International Chiefs of Police both have put statements out condemning these pardons and also the Biden pardon of a murderer, Peltier? And Larry Krasner surfaces in this. It just doesn't get any worse. Wanting to charge these people who, in a multitude of cases, have already paid a pretty heavy price for what they did. He doesn't care about that. Yet Larry Krasner would not go after the woman who set on fire two police vehicles in downtown Philadelphia. Remember that? Bill McSwain tracked them and found her using Etsy because of what she was wearing. And he's the one that ultimately got her, I think, a 7-year sentence. Not Krasner. He has no standing at all telling us about attacking cops. He does it routinely every day through his office. He's the biggest enemy of the police, arguably, that they face every day. All right, so 855-839-1210. Now, today's side question, at 1 o'clock, I brought it in today. I have the salmon shirt. We got off on this because
of... finally get it?
Yeah, finally get it. Roger Stone, of all people, was on Talking Fashion. I think Dan brought up pastels somehow or another.
Yeah, the pastels are great colors, yeah.
And somehow or another, these Oregon women on a ranch who watch on YouTube were demanding something salmon. I didn't even know how we got that. I thought it was a shirt I was wearing that day. So I do have one. It's not an incredible one. I mean, I was under the gun trying to buy this on salmon. You got anything here in salmon? Hey, buddy, that's the fish.
How do you think it looks? Do you personally think it looks good on you? Or?
Yeah, it looks okay. Yeah. So I'll put it on at, it's not my top array of shirts. I'll put it on at 1 o'clock today and we'll be pastel, fulfilling another promise. We make promises, we keep them. All right, 855-839-1210. I'm just intrigued. These women on a ranch, what a business Talk Radio is. All right. The side question, though, comes from
just
the shirt.
Just so obsessed with the color of your shirt. It's
yeah,
fantastic.
I know. Yeah. We'll see if it's salmon enough. Bro doesn't get salmon. She was all over the board. I told her.
She's not a fan of the salmon?
Well, she doesn't know what's salmon and what's not. Salmon's a tricky color. It takes fashion.
Yeah, it's a tricky color.
Moguls like you, Dan, to figure that out. I'm not wearing a raspberry suit that you suggested.
Raspberry is a great color as well.
Oh, God. Yeah,
I don't know if it works with Dom's skin tone.
Little muted purplish kind of color.
Well, it can get kind of red.
I like my pastels. They look great.
All right. Yeah. So that was an Italian slur there, I think, from Henry, the skin tone there. Okay.
I wouldn't go that far, but...
I think pastels, especially salmon, look better with Italian skin tone. You get that little olive tint to it. You know,
olive, you never go wrong.
Pull it off.
I guess we'll see.
We'll see. It's only a shirt. Okay. Now, the other thing is, that gave us me the side question. Hit us with something, a piece of clothing, real or fictional, meaning it was in something fictional, that you think is the best answer today. Piece of clothing. We've never done this one. I'm going to take off the board my favorite piece of clothing ever, anywhere, any circumstance, the little black dress. You can't go wrong with the little black dress and all the iterations of it. Every woman should have at least three different little black dresses.
And if you're picking one in particular, it's the Audrey Hepburn black dress, right?
Audrey Hepburn's not doing it. I'm trying to think of who else would be in a little black dress. Yeah.
Melania Trump?
Melania Trump. There you go. Little black dress. You cannot beat that.
You know what? Take off her hat. That's a notable fashion statement.
I'm not on board with the hat. I think it looked weirdly out of place. you're stretching to say it was unusual. It was different. I think she looked better the first inaugural, outfit, the whole thing.
So it's a piece of clothing, real or fictional, famous.
Yes. I'll take off Indiana Jones' hat just so we get that one off.
I took one from
you. I'm sorry. I didn't know if you were going to do it. I wanted to make sure no one slid in with that because that would be almost an automatic winner. Dan, how about yours?
How about Forrest Gump's pre-release Nike shoes? Yeah.
Very good. You know everything about the Gump film, without a doubt. All right, Henry.
Do his leg braces count as well?
That's not a piece of clothing of any sort. Yeah,
you guys are just taking everything from me. Dan says Nike shoes. I was also gonna go with a type of Nike shoes. How about the Air Mags from Back to the Future 2 that Marty McFly wore?
Right.
Which you can get. The auto-tying shoes, the auto-tying high-top shoes you can get for a cool $20,000.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, so think of it. Think of how many there are. Give us something iconic. It's all in the telling. It's all in the story.
How about the nipple suit from Batman?
Yes.
That work?
Yeah, you had a better one than that. Use your other one. Superman's cape.
Yeah, that one's good.
Yeah, Superman's cape. Yeah. That's iconic. Yeah. You wanted to say the nipple suit.
Well, they were actually modeled, really, I've learned, off of his nipples. Yes.
Yeah.
There's two nipple suits, right?
Well, I'm talking George Clooney's nipple
Clooney's.
Suit.
Okay.
They modeled his.
Regrettable. Guys should never be allowed to play that. But hit us with that. The little black dress is still my bet. I just can't imagine. There are a couple of others pretty close, but male or female, something that is iconic. That's what we're looking for at 855-839-1210. You get on board. Today, a big day. It looks like ICE is out there doing their job, and there's some blowback in some cities. Nothing to report here, but we'll let you know if we see it. Dom Giordano Show. All right, Dom Giordano Show. I see some pretty good articles of clothing up here. That's what we're looking for. I'll put the salmon shirt on. We'll see what happens. We'll get a review on YouTube at 1 o'clock. But the Elon Musk non-Nazi salute. But you see what happens with stuff like this. Now the media is interviewing Nick Fuentes, the white nationalist creep, Hitler-loving. This was a straight-up Sieg Heil. He said on X, I love the Hitler energy. Elon Musk is not doing Sieg Heils. I've seen a breakdown of some of the arm movements that he made. Look, he does goofy things. He's awkward with this stuff. There's no subtle, I got a Hitler message in there. But this is the fascination with the media. The story, though, that I told you about the pardons, commutations, is still going forward. It'll be put to bed, though. There are bigger things that Trump represents that are working, that are moving forward. All that I ask for in this, put a button on it, is not to commute all these people. That's the bottom line for me. And I don't understand why some people are knocking themselves out, like a guy on Twitter telling me, well, how much do you get just for fighting with the cops? What, are you kidding me? You know you're torn, you're pro-cop like I am. And what you see and what you get in front of you was serious. Some of these cops were hurt severely. That's one batch of people that should get a long sentence. So out of the 1,500, we probably are eliminating 1,475 or so, one way or the other. Some of whom probably got a sentence that should have been commuted a long time ago or never should have happened. True. Does that mean, though, you let the others that were engaged in this stuff go? Why do you want to do that? Tell me, what is it served? In other words, there's enough pushback at how wrong some of this stuff was. FBI possible involvement. Well, no, when Kash Patel gets in there and egging some of this on, we got that. But there were people determined to do what they did. FOP, now out with a statement condemning these. And also, we're trying to get them on. International police chiefs also doing that. Now, I don't stand with them if they condemn all these commutations and pardons. Any number of these people, there's nothing here to say. It's ridiculous. But the ones that are talking about where cops were attacked, and in some cases, very seriously, and in some cases, very serious injuries. If this were an average event, you'd say the same thing that I do. And I have standing, so do you. Where else in the Philadelphia area did more people call out in great detail and go after what was happening with the mobs allowed to go wild, burning down, attempting to burn down, rob, loot, attack cops and everything else during the George Floyd summer? All under the guise of, well, isn't that more serious? That, look at what was done there. A man died. So that gives people the right to engage in this? Of course it doesn't. So if you said that, and now you say it in this, you have standing. Larry Krasner has absolutely none. Philly crime update. Brilliant people we've had on. Here's their breakdown of the Philly riots. 2,000 rioters, 95% were dropped for any kind of charge imaginable. And a bare minimum of any charge, almost none, seriously, by Krasner. 61% repeat offenders. Thank you, Philly Crime. All right, let's go to Robert in Ventnor City. He's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to call in. Thank goodness that President Trump let the J6 hostages go. I don't want to say his name, but one of those people is my neighbor, and it was great to see him back with his family two nights ago. He told me some interesting things. It was terrific. He said that President Trump's people spoke to him.
You're a liar, seminar caller. You called the other day with some other gibberish. Don't call again, please. Or don't say Ventnor City every time. Okay? Yeah, Trump was telling him. Okay, we got it. But we now have the FOP. We have the chiefs of police saying no, they're not on board with it. Neither are they on board with the Biden pardon of this Native American who killed two FBI agents. I think he's been in jail 50 years. So what? He should have gotten the death penalty. It doesn't matter how long you're in jail. If you murder a cop, if you murder anyone under the requirements of first-degree murder, you ought to be put to death. We ought to shorten the period of time with all this phony evidence, and you ought to be executed. It's a pretty simple thing. Now, these are the people that supported President Trump, too. What would you say to them? What do they have wrong here? I have to say, it was pretty muted on Twitter against me yesterday for this. That made me feel pretty good that people get it. You can differ on this. You can say a lot of these people should have never been charged, were overcharged, they've done their time, they're still going to be having great difficulty because if this is on your, if this is found out, you know there are people societally that are never going to let up on this, make it very hard for employment and everything else. Okay, that's a given. But why are we shielding people who actually were engaged? You can't say, well, the George Floyd people got away with it, so let's let them get away with it. That's the same tactic the left uses all the time. I get it, the George Floyd stuff. But there were people here who severely attacked and injured cops. They got to pay the price for that. We got to be consistent. That's what it means standing with police. No matter whose side on, doesn't matter. That's all that's required. You stand with the cops. And the idea of trying to chip away at that. Well, a guy called me the other day. What about the East German police? Give it a rest, buddy. Don't put your, why are you putting yourself through hoops? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Do you stand with the cops or not? There are instances of bad cops. We all know that. I didn't see that with the Capitol Police at all. All right, let's take one here on that article of clothing. Ah, here's a good one. Eileen in Northeast Philadelphia. Hey, Eileen, good afternoon.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, this is a pretty old country singer. Her name was Minnie Pearl.
Yes.
And she always wore a straw hat with the price tag
yes.
hanging off it.
That's why I couldn't show the shirt yesterday. It had the price tag on it. So and there were no scissors out here at a radio station or scissor. And I got it done. So that's why I'm wearing it. Yeah, Minnie Pearl was a classic. That was a classic look. That is an heirloom. All right, that's a good one. So it can be real. It can be a stage thing. It can be a broad thing like the little black dress. I left another one off that's summer wear. Come on now, that ought to be obvious. It's a great piece of clothing. Doesn't have to be just specifically worn by a person. 855-839-1210. Coming up, we had our big event on Monday. A lot of people turning out. The Inquirer actually didn't attack us too much in their reporting on it. But there was an event held in South Philly, not too far from where I grew up, right across the street from Lanier Playground. Gray's Ferry, the heart of Gray's Ferry. I'll tell you what that bar's name is and why it indicates something magical about Trump. Because these people used to be Democrats, at least on paper, yet they were celebrating on Monday. Why? Straight ahead with Dom. Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. So the bar that I was mentioning that celebrated the inauguration of President Trump on Monday was Dean's Bar, right there in the center of Gray's Ferry, right near Lanier Playground. Over the years, St. Gabriel's Parish, Irish National Parish, primarily Dean's Bar. And I always thought these people, it was strange that they would vote for Democrat after Democrat. You know, they grew up Democrats. It's a labor union thing. It's all of that. But they actually not only voted for Trump, but held an event, publicized it, and were celebrating him and got news coverage around it. This is the type of thing that Trump has broken through with. And can Republicans deliver enough on this? And I'm going to give you one that the other side's already hitting back with. And Rick Santorum has talked about a little bit. And that is they're already hitting back with, well, what about the minimum wage? How can you be the working party and not raise the minimum wage? Just think about that. You may have a thought on it. But Dean's Bar is an example of Trump breaking through in a way that I don't see who else yet is going to break through and bond in this. Just really different. I mean, it was always there. They're more in sync with Republican policies, but you're not seeing people at Dean's Bar celebrate Mitt Romney, for an example. You know, back in the day, before all the trouble with Mitt Romney, he's a guy in a top hat. You know, that guy. Trump's not. I don't know if they'd celebrate J.D. Vance. You know, Trump has the ability by any number of his antics, personality, to break through what was already there, but to capitalize on it. And to have a thing to celebrate it, I couldn't believe it. If you grew up in that area, you say to yourself, how are these people voting for Democrats constantly? You know, the same Democrats who brought Louis Farrakhan to town when there was a fight in Gray's Ferry and the protesters were going to march through Gray's Ferry, a white neighborhood at that point, almost exclusive, largely. I got to broadcast from inside both camps. It was an incredible day. But I always thought these people are going to vote. They're Republicans. They're conservatives in large measure. Trump is the one that's broken through on this. All right. Mark is in Feasterville. Mark is on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Mark. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Dom?
Good.
I agree with you 100%. Like, if they assaulted these police officers, then something should happen to them.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if their due process was violated, like whether they were allowed to post bail or if they were tried within 180 days of speedy process.
Yeah, Sixth Amendment. Well, with tracking them down, even though they went ferociously after them, you know, I don't know how the 180-day rule and all that, Mark, applies to any of that because it was difficult to sort some of it out. But tell me, what do you think the rationale is of people to say there's 20, 30, 40 we're talking about here as far as I can tell, and the other 1,500 or so, yeah, he should have pardoned all of them or in large, what I can tell case by case, pardon, commute, all those people.
I don't, like I said, I'm not sure what the sentencing guidelines are to assault the police officer. But if they're violated their due process, then they should be released on a technicality. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it's right, but that's right. The law.
Well, I mean? The ones I'm talking about, I don't see that here. And Mark, the evidence is, when Vance, a few days before, said, of course, we're not dealing with people that engage in violence, particularly toward cops. And then I think they just threw up their hands and said, why don't we do all of them? And that's the only thing I can tell you. I'm not on board with that. I can't.
No, me neither. But what I'm saying is, yep. Let's say I've never been locked up.
Right.
I saw a police officer.
Right.
Like, from what I understand, that they've been in there 4 years, most of them. So if it's a 4-year sentence and I've done my time,
mm-hmm.
I should be released.
Well, A, you know what I mean? I don't think they've been in there 4 years. You got to remember, tracking them down, finding them was a process. And then you get a period of time before there's a trial. And then they're out for a while before they get sentenced. And then they go to jail. So some of these cops were seriously attacked and injured. It wasn't just a fist fight, is what I'm saying.
Right. And I understand what you're saying about, you know, they're released on bail. But from my understanding, I could be wrong, probably 90% of them didn't receive bail.
Right. What I'm saying is some of them probably served 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that. And for some of these assaults, you would get more than that, given the damage and given everything else. Relatively small numbers, though. So do we just forgive everything and send them aside? I don't see it that way. Lion's share never should have been in there.
Six equal, please.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks very much. All right. Coming up, we'll get more on the side question, the salmon shirt. A little bit later, we have Dom's Money Melody. Keep the side question going today. Coming off that shirt, just hit us with an article of clothing, real or fictional, that you think pops, that you think is iconic. And also, I'll give you a little bit more on what's happening with ICE today. It appears they're making progress. Literally hundreds of people are being removed toward the process of deportation. I think they have to hold them for a while. Then the deportation happens. This is not going to happen overnight. Remember, this is a slow deal that has to be methodical, legal, etc. But Homan is on the move, and we may have more highlights. Lake and Riley Vote will give you that, too. I think it's going to become law during this show.
Ooh, buddy, the hype is starting to build. Dom Giordano,
YouTube.com/12WPHC.
Dom,
brush.
We got the cigarettes ready, banana shakes, our salmon underwear and swing chairs. We are here for the salmon shirt, Dom.
Right.
I don't know what any of that means. I don't know if I should have said it on air, but I did
okay,
anyway.
Okay, that's those women in Oregon. What an audience. All right, all straight ahead. Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210.